אוקיי, לימון, ירדותיי.
We're continuing our study of Echa. Yesterday we saw the Midrash that explains that Am Yisrael could not get consolation from those who loved them. And the Midrash says, who are these people who love them? They're the Nevi'e Sheker. They were the false prophets of the time. That instead of helping people get better, they showed them love. When the calling was to show them direction. When you show love, instead of showing people direction, it is equal to hatred. When people need help and you show them that they are appreciated as they are, so basically you're telling them there's no reason to change. And therefore it means that you don't really have any ahava for them. It's an amazing thing how a person who shows love in the wrong situation is actually a sign of hatred.
Wow.
So the Midrash says that Am Yisrael at the time didn't make improvements in their life, even though they saw the writing on the wall, but they did not choose to improve themselves because they had these false prophets that made them feel very comfortable as they are. They didn't make them feel the need to change. As we mentioned yesterday, these false prophets are around in every generation. And their goal is to assert themselves so that they can be lifting their own agenda. Whatever that agenda might be. But their agenda clearly isn't to raise other people. When your agenda is to raise other people, sometimes there's going to be uncomfortable conversations. But when your agenda is to raise yourself, it doesn't really matter what you say to the other person as long as you're going to get something back for, whether it's money or respect. That's how the Midrash explains Ohavea. If we take this Midrash and extend it to the rest of the Pasuk, the Midrash doesn't say what I'm about to say. But if we followed along this Midrash, the end of the Pasuk says, Kol Re'eha Bagduba. All her friends, the friends of the people at the time, Bagduba, we said, means they betrayed her. Hayula, they were to her le'oyevim. They were to her like enemies. I'd like to suggest, as the continuation to the Midrash, that notice in the Pasuk, there are two types of people that are being discussed. There's Ohavea, there are those who show her love, and then there's Re'eha, which we know the Pasuk, Ve'ahavta le're'acha kamocha. Re'eha means her friends. Along the lines of the Midrash, there seems to be two different people here. The ones who love her are not the ones who are her friends. And the ones who are her friends are not the ones who love her. So if Ohaveha is referring to the Nevi'e Sheker, the false prophets, so who is Re'eha? who are her friends. So before I answer the question, I'd like to share with you an important commentary from the Ibn Ezra in Parashat Mishpatim. Something to keep in mind. It's an important subject. The actual subject matter is maybe less relevant, but the powerful Ibn Ezra on the Pasuk is very relevant. The discussion over there in the Pasuk is about an ox that gores another ox. So you have two oxen, each has an individual owner, and one of them gores the other one. How does the Pasuk describe this act of the ox that gored the other ox? So the Pasuk says, V'chi yigoch. The word yigoch means to gore, to push. Shor ish. Shor ish means a man's ox, means a privately owned ox. So the ox of a man is called shor ish. He gored et shor re'ehu. He gored, simply translated, it means the ox of his friend. Who is the word re'ehu, the friend, who is that coming to describe? Is it coming to describe the friend of the owner? Meaning, Reuven, his ox, went and gored the ox of Shimon, his friend. So the word friend is going back on the owner. Or is the word re'ehu describing the ox's friend? Meaning, the ox of a man gored a shor, his friend. Not referring to Shimon, referring to another shor. So the word re'ehu is the discussion here. Is re'ehu describing the owner of that shor? So he's the friend of the owner. Or is it describing the friend of the shor, which is the ox? That's the question. Who is re'ehu describer? So the Ibn Ezra quotes from a commentary, Ben Zuta, who explained that the word re'ehu is going back on the ox. That the ox gored his friend, the ox. Now the Ibn Ezra has some very strong words to say about this commentary. Does not hold back. He has some very rough words, which I'm not going to repeat now. And he says that, of course, the word re'ehu is going back on the owner of the ox. The ox bored the ox of the owner's friend. Ve'en leshoreya. He says there's no such thing in the world of oxen as a friend, or the word re'acha. Re'acha, says the Ibn Ezra, is a very human term. It's for human relationships. So therefore, there's no way the word re'ehu, that word doesn't apply to animals with each other. It can only apply with humans. And the question is why? What is so special about this word, re'acha, which we describe as a friend? Why can animals have friends? What is the problem? What is unique about the word re'acha that makes it exclusively for humans? I'd like to share with you a beautiful commentary from Rav Huttner, alav shalom, who goes into the very root of the word re'acha. He says that there seems to be a connection between the word teruah and re'acha. We know on Rosh Hashanah, the Torah commands us, Yom teruah yihye lachem, that Rosh Hashanah is a day of teruah. What exactly is teruah? So it's referring to the shofar. And which sound of the shofar? Not the first one that opens up the series. You know, in every shofar blowing, there is a series. There is the opener, and then there is the closer. Those are the simple tekiah sounds. But the main dish over here, the main blowing is the middle. The middle is called teruah. The beginning and end are there just to facilitate the main dish, the main sound that the Torah focuses on is the teruah sound. Yom teruah yiyeh lachem. What is this teruah that the Torah refers to? So actually it's a discussion in the rabbi's world of what this teruah is. Some say it's a broken sound like shevarim, what we call shevarim. It's a broken sound, two, two, two. That's called teruah. The other one says, no, it's more of a crying sound like the teruah that we make. Two, two, two is faster. Not as drawn out as shevarim. But according to both, the word teruah means broken up sounds, as opposed to tekiah, which is a straight sound. Teruah is broken sounds that sound like a person crying. So the Torah says, make sure Yom teruah yiyeh lachem. I need to hear, you need to hear that sound on Rosh Hashanah. What does the broken sound of Rosh Hashanah have to do with your friend? Why is the same word, teruah? It's got the same shoresh, the same root as re'acha. Resh ayin is the shoresh of teruah. And resh ayin is the root of re'acha, your friend. What's the connection? And if you take it a little further, resh ayin is the same word as ra, which means usually something bad, something broken. So how does friendship, which is supposed to be the epitome of goodness, a real friend is hard to find. It's someone who cares about you. It's someone who shares in your happiness sincerely. It's someone who's there to help you when you're in need. A friend that is real is not so easy to find.
Yeah.
Like we find in the story of Iyov. Iyov was a very successful person. Iyov was a very successful man. The Pasuk describes him as a very wealthy man. It says he owned 7,000 sheep. I don't know how to translate that into currency, but it seems to be in those days that was today's billionaires. He's in Forbes magazine. And he had 3,000 camels.
Fuck it, bro. What is those?
Huh? It's a lot of cat. Yeah. That's like the yachts of the time. 3,000 camels. Va'avudah rabah, and much more wealth. He had 7 boys and 3 girls, 10 children. He's very wealthy, had a large family, he was blessed with children. And then we know the story of Iyov, how everything took a turn downhill. He lost all his children, lo aleinu v'lo aleichem, lost all 10 children. He lost all his money, and he lost his health. He was a sick man. He lost it all in a very short time period. And the book of Iyob basically describes the reaction, what happened within his thoughts. And in the book of Iyob, it talks about basically 3 people that came to visit him. There's one other one that came later. But primarily 3 of his friends came to visit him. Eliphaz HaTemani. Eliphaz the Yemenite came. Bildad HaShuhi. So you have Eliphaz, Bildad, and Sofad. 3 people, and the book is all conversations. They sat with him 7 days and 7 nights. They sat basically Shiva with him. So imagine Iyov is sitting Shiva. How many people came to the Shiva? 3. With a 4th one that came later. 4 people came to the Shiva of Iyov. Shiva for 10 children. He lost all his money and he was sick. 4 people came. Now, it's not really such a big question. Who knows where he was living? Maybe there were only 4 people around. Maybe his city was very small. Maybe no one knew about him. It could be. But the Sefer Iyov, in the end, alludes to a different reality. Because there it says that after he came back and he became successful again, in fact, it says he was successful double. In the end of Iyob, it lists that he had now 14,000 sheep. Before, he had only 7. He had more, double everything. He now had 14 boys. And 3 girls.
You ever say?
The girls stayed the same. 14 boys. And then the pasuk says, "Vayavo'u elav," and came to him. Now this is, the Torah had 17 children, so I'm imagining it took a number of years for that to happen. They came to him. Called Ahav, all his brothers. They call Ahyotav. I don't know if they're real biological brothers or, you know, when people say he's my brother. Friends. Call Ahav, all his brothers. They call Ahyotav and all his sisters. Vekol yodeav lefanim. And all the people who knew him, lefanim. That's the key word here. The one that used to know him. When was he used to? When did it stop? When he was doing well, lefanim, he had a lot of people. And they came, veyanudulo. They came to shake their head. They thought, can't believe what happened to you. Veynahamu oto. And they came to console him. We just heard. Didn't even realize what you went through. Oh, our hearts are crying for you. Unbelievable. What a story. Man lost it all and only four guys showed up. He has again beracha. Everyone shows up. This is the reality of friendships in this world, like it or not. Most people that we consider a friend probably have something in it for them that they can get from us. Once they can dispose of us, once we become useless, we are discarded in the garbage can. Don't get offended by it. Don't get upset. Fact of life. Most people, when it comes to their friendship, whether it's a friendship with random friends, or even their relationships to their rabbi, or to someone that they respect, very often, it's just a service business.
Wow.
So long as you're getting served by your friend, if it serves your needs, he's your friend. You'll go to his weddings, you'll celebrate his mahat, you'll sit on the floor with him, you'll do it all. So long as you're getting service, some sort of service. Now, in the future, even a rabbi is easily discarded. So long as you need him, but whatever you need him for, respect him, he kisses him. Also, some rabbis, they don't realize this. They think when the guy kisses their hand, it means that the guy thinks he's Mashiach. But if he would study Iyov, he would calm down a little bit. He would realize it's not as real as it looks. It actually humbles a person when you realize this. It's good. It's a good thing, not a bad thing. I'm not saying all people are like that, God forbid. But there are plenty, plenty of relationships. Friendships, students, all kinds of friendships and connections that we see in life that are service to the person. So long as they're serving him, he's all in. Once the service ends, not in an evil way. I don't, God forbid, mean they're taking it, we don't care about you. I don't mean it like that. But there's no real connection. Okay, it is. The relationship expired. It is what it is. Move on. Let's find another right now. Find another friend. Plenty of people out there. A lot of times, we invest our whole life. What I mean, don't get so excited about friendships. It means there are people, us, that we spend our whole life trying to become friendly and in with people. And the reality is they don't care about us. It's a waste of time. Does nothing for you. Does nothing. You're supposed to be good with all people. You should be good and comfortable and give a nice word and have a good relationship with all people. But to spend your whole life trying to get people's attention as if you're important to them, it's not real. You're not important to them. You're just a tool that helps them. If when you do, you're with them. When you don't, you're not. So it's not worth spending your life trying to be in with people as if they take you and make you feel like you're very hashuv in their eyes. You're not. Don't be misguided. That's the reality of life. Now, that's what friends are.
Friends could be acquaintances. They could be distant admirers. They could be people that have a good time with each other. That's it. Then you have a real, real top-notch friend who is actually very much caring about you and very much feeling your heartbeat. Rare, but also possible. That's the story of friendship. And then there is re'acha. A new level of a friend. This is a new type of guy. The re'acha friend is very, 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 very unusual in today's world. Very hard to find. If you have one guy like this, take him and bottle him somewhere. Don't let him go. Who is the re'acha friend? He is the one that does the same as the shofar on Rosh Hashanah to you. What is the teruah sound, the broken sound, supposed to do for us on Rosh Hashanah? It's supposed to have an effect on us that we look into our broken areas of life. It points out what's broken and make resolutions to make them whole. That's what the shofar is supposed to do. It's supposed to awaken us to the broken areas of our lives, broken relationships, broken mindsets, broken things in our lives. It's supposed to break our thinking to see what is broken, because a person doesn't think too much. They get used to the reality and they think this is the way it is. Comes the shofar. The broken sounds of the shofar help us see what's broken in our life. And then a person hopefully will make resolutions to make what's broken whole. That is, says Rav Hudna, why the word teruah is the same as re'acha. Because a real friend of the highest caliber is not just a guy who celebrates with you from his heart, which is hard to find, celebrates from his heart. Again, he's from the top category, who cries for you, with you, from his heart, top of the line. But the re'acha is on top of that. He cares so much about you that he is willing to do what's uncomfortable and tell you what's broken in your behavior. He's willing to get up and say to you that things are not the way they're supposed to be. It's an uncomfortable conversation, and it's a big risk. Because if you tell someone a comment like that, you made for yourself, it's not worth it. If you're thinking about yourself, it's not worth going to tell the person anything that might disturb him, because he may no longer want to be your friend, and you may lose all the benefits and service of friendship from that guy. So if you're thinking about yourself, there's no way you would put yourself in that situation. You're not doing it. Because it's risky. But if you really cared about the guy, that you're willing to put your benefit at risk just to help him, he may never talk to you again. Could be. Of course, when you talk to him, you gotta be smart. Of course, you have to be strategic. You have to know the right timing, right words. We know that, of course. But with all that, it's still a risk. The guy walks away saying, you know that guy, forget it. What are any friends like this? Every time I talk to him, he tells me something wrong. Meanwhile, you haven't said something in 3 months to him. But in his mind, that's every time. People remember the negative much more than the positive. Is that what it is? If a person has a slight paper cut on his finger, that's all he can think about. Baruch Hashem, his whole body is working beautifully. All he can think about, the paper cut. People remember negativity much more, much longer, and much clearer than positivity. So you tell a guy every 3-4 months something, by the third time he says, you know what? Every day I see you, you talk to me like this. Third time in 9 months. All in between, however the other conversations we had. I gave you 1,000 compliments in between. I gave you all kinds of nice words. That's the reality. So you say words to someone, it's risky. He may say, I don't need this in my life. This guy looks at me negatively. He judges me. He's rough with me. Doesn't respect me. I'm out. So which person, which friend is going to actually do this fear? He's going to see you acting arrogantly. He's going to see you angry. He's going to see you making mistakes. Whether it's with God, whether it's with your family, whether it's with friendships, whatever it might be, in business. Which person is going to go out on the line and tell you something? Only one kind is called re'acha. This re'acha person is willing to make a teruah in your life. He's willing to blow the shofar on the issues that need fixing. And he may end up losing because of it. But he's willing to lose what he should gain or could gain if it's going to help you. Or even if it's only a chance, he's going to help you. Re'acha. Someone who looks to make you better. Someone who points out things that you need to fix. Perhaps that's why the Ibn Ezra says that you can't have an ox with the word re'acha. Maybe an ox should have a haver. Maybe he could have a friend. But to have re'acha, this word, re'acha is a very elevated type of relationship. That's the friend. Whoever said it means the ox understood the word re'acha in a very simple way, like we understand. Love your friend. Why can't a short have friends? But since Ibn Ezra, no, the word re'acha is much deeper. It's an ox that gives rebuke to his friend. That can't be. Oxen don't have such relationships. They don't rebuke each other. They don't need to rebuke each other. They're robots. They do nothing wrong. They do what oxen do. So it has to be on humans, says Ibn Ezra. What a beautiful understanding of real friendships. And by the way, once we understand what re'acha means, and once we understand the value, it helps both sides. What do I mean, both sides? It helps the person who is blowing the shofar, and it helps the person who is listening to the shofar. You see, if I don't know this, and my friend comes and tells me something, so it may bother me to the point where I get really upset. Maybe that person is my friend, maybe he's my father, maybe he's my rabbi. It hurts to hear when things are broken and someone noticed it. We like to give off as humans, while we know we're very far from perfect, but we like to give off externally shlemut. We like to give off, like you ask someone, how are things going? Baruch Hashem. Everything is great. You know for a fact, that's sheket. Fact.
Because nobody has everything great. There's no such thing as everything is great. Unless the guy is a real ma'amin b'Hashem and sees the good in every difficulty, which is not so easy either. So everything is great. Come on, it's not true. He does have issues with his daughter, with his son, with his wife, with his mother, with his cousin, with his business. He's got issues. Nobody's got. Everything is great. So how come we say everything is great? Even when you know it's not. Because externally, we like to give off the impression that everything is complete by us. We don't like to give off any kind of broken areas, weakness. No, great. Everything's great. Now, the same guy, 10 minutes later, talks to somebody he's very comfortable with, starts opening up. He goes to a psychologist. The same guy who tells you everything is great, he goes to talk to someone, he can't stop talking about his problems. That's the norm of a human. It's a good thing, by the way. It's not a bad thing. We like to give off the impression that everything is good. I think that's a valuable thing. Hashem created in us a certain busha, a certain bashfulness. We don't want to reveal problems that we have, and we shouldn't. You should give off a shlemut type of reality. But that's the reality of a human being. But sometimes that way of thinking, which is just to protect him from other people, becomes what actually he believes. He starts believing he's perfect. This attitude externally that everything is perfect, he starts to convince himself that he's perfect. So someone points out something to him, A, it shocks him.
Sure.
And B, it reveals to him that this person talking to me knows the real truth, that when I say everything is great, he knows it's not. It's very uncomfortable. So if I don't know what we're learning today, and I'm the recipient of someone's shofar, I get very upset quickly. I don't even realize why I'm getting upset, but I quickly get upset, and who knows what could happen from that. But listening to what we're learning today makes the recipient a lot smarter. He starts to ask himself, wait, why does he get upset? This man, this woman, just took a big risk, a huge risk, to come and tell me something that is broken in me. It's a hard thing to do. If they took that risk, must be that they care about me more than what they can get from me. So, at the very least, you don't lose respect for the guy. The opposite, you gain respect for him. And you should know, by the way, in the long term, the people that we care about most in the long term, not short term. The short term, we don't like to hear when people tell us something wrong. But in the long term, sometimes the long could be years, maybe 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, depending on the relationship. In the long term, the people we appreciate the most in life are the people that pushed us and pointed out to us something we didn't feel comfortable about. It's those people that in the long term, when everything is more relaxed and we look back, we say, wow, thank God. I know I appreciate what that person did. This shiur today makes recipients much smarter not to react so quickly before understanding what is actually going on. Understand what that person had to do to come and tell you this. Understand the risk they're taking for you. Now, you don't have to agree to everything. Maybe they were wrong, maybe they're right. It's a different story. Maybe the person didn't realize what actually is happening. But at least the very fact that he had the courage to stand up and tell you something,
You should give them a big hug for that. I want to tell you, thank you. I love you. Maybe I disagree with you. That's okay. Maybe you didn't realize something. Fine. But the very fact that you did this for me, I don't know what to say to you. Because I don't know how many people I would risk my own benefit for their benefit. Thank you for it. Re'acha. You know who realized this? Famous story in the Gemara about Resh Lakish and Rabbi Yohanan. Resh Lakish and Rabbi Yohanan, after Rabbi Yohanan convinced Resh Lakish to come and become a Talmid Chacham, after he was a very, very rough person, they became Havrutot, and they learned with each other, day in and day out. They loved each other. And one day, years later, Resh Lakish passed away. And the Gemara describes Rabbi Yohanan as very, very much missing his Havruta. Resh Lakish, you couldn't live without him. So the rabbi saw that the great Rabbi Yohanan is having a very hard time with this. They told him, you know what? We looked all around the Jewish people. We found one giant, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, giant of a Talmid Chacham. He says, we're going to make a shiduch for you and him to become Havrutot. Can learn together. Okay. They're learning together. Gemara says, every time Rabbi Yohanan says something, answers something, explains something, comes the great Rabbi Elazar ben Tedad, and he brings him 24 proofs to what he's saying. Rabbi, beautiful. Let me bring you a proof from here and from there and from here. For everything he would say, he would bring him proofs to give him support and strength. Unbelievable, what a habruta. Gemara says, Rabbi Yohanan called him, I can't sit with this guy. To tell him, what's the problem? What's the issue? He's getting sick. He says, when I sat with Resh Lakish, every time I would say something, he would bring me 24 attacks on what I said. I come with Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat. Every time he gives me 24 proofs, I don't need friends to give me proof. I need friends that give me the other side. And Gemara says he got really sick after all this, couldn't deal with him. Re'acha. Re'acha is a unique relationship. Lucky, fortunate is the person who can find such a friend. Sometimes it's a father, sometimes it's a mother, usually it's that. But who really is willing to give up their own good for other people? Who are you going to find? Usually it's parents. Sometimes you're lucky you have a rabbi. Sometimes you're lucky you have a friend. Sometimes you're lucky if you have a wife or husband. Again, this is not a license to go and just yell and scream at people. Because if you do it that way, you know you're not helping them. So you're not really doing them a favor. Of course, you have to be timely, proper, caring. Shouldn't come out of anger. Should come out of care. The words that you say, of course, ultimately, fortunate is the person who finds such a friend in life. And fortunate is the person who can appreciate when someone goes out and risks what's good for him in order to help his friend. Le'acha. Perhaps that's what the pasuk means. You know why Am Yisrael fell in the trap of the Nevi'e Sheker? You know why they were more attracted to the false prophets, kol re'ehan, because they're real friends. Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, they're real friends that were willing to tell them, that blew the shofar on them, kol re'ehan, bagduba, in their eyes, when they gave them rebuke, they said, ah, they're traitors, they don't care about us. We thought they're caring, we thought they're our friends. We thought they had Ahavat Israel. Ahavat Israel. Very often, when people talk about Ahavat Israel, it means they hate the Jewish people. That's what it means. They protect themselves with something called Ahavat Israel. We love everybody. No, if you loved everybody, you would be more involved in helping them. But that's the way they understood it. They looked at them. They looked at Yeshayahu as someone that was not doing what they're supposed to do. Hayula le'oyevim. They looked at them as enemies. Instead of looking at him as a friend, they saw it all backwards. That's why they ended up where they ended up. They were attracted to those who loved them or showed them love, to those who showed them the opposite of love. It's amazing. Someone who shows you love all the time, you know, doesn't love you. And someone who shows you sometimes not such good things about you, that's the guy who loves you. It's all opposite of perception, opposite of what seems on the surface. Fortunate is the person who has Re'acha in his life. That's what could have saved Am Yisrael in the time of destruction. And it saves every person in their life from their own destruction. Big save. Have a Re'acha in your life and appreciate them. Have a wonderful day.